Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 165, maybe episode 166 of your favourite Formula One show. It tells you how professional we are when I can't even remember the episode number. But as always, I'm joined by someone that I can remember, whether for better or worse. It's Jamie183.
What a great compliment to start off. I'm glad you can remember me, Matt. I'm doing well. Yeah, I'm desperately needed a haircut, so I apologise for that. But yes, we're here to talk about some Formula One. Australian Grand Prix coming up, 4 a.m, bright and early. I'll be straight up for it because I have no life. Yeah, and Max Verstappen to win by 20 seconds. I'm so hyped.
It almost makes it hardly worth getting up, doesn't it?
I'll be straight back to bed after it's done, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I suppose that's a good idea. I don't even know, even though I've probably got less of a life than you, yeah. I don't even know whether I'm going to get up for it as of right now. But we'll be honest, we kind of sat down ready to do this week's show, and we were like, right, what do we talk about? Australian Grand Prix preview. And basically nothing has happened since Jeddah that we really want to talk about, because it still feels like the only news going on is about Christian Horner. And to be honest, we're both really, really bored of pretty much saying the same thing.
Beating that dead
every
horse over and over.
So what we're going to do today, instead, is we're going to get our clickbait out and we are going to make our 2025 driver lineup predictions ready for you guys to not only laugh at us now, but laugh at us, of course, down the line and in the
Indeed.
Future, of course. Some drivers were already confirmed, some drivers we already know where they're going to be. But how do we want to do this, Jamie? What order are we going to run?
Should we go top down? I feel like, it will get a bit confusing because we're trying to do two at once. So I hope you can follow, but we'll do our best to make it obvious.
Yes. And unlike the championship predictions, I'm not doing a graphic for this one because it almost broke my PC. So you're just going to have to listen and keep tabs on what's going on.
Take your own notes. Get a little notebook out.
Exactly.
You know, two columns. Yeah.
We've decided we're sick and tired of this generation wanting everything spoon-fed to them. So what we're going to do instead is make you do your own work for it.
Exactly. Show your work as well. Leave it in the comments.
Exactly. Let us know, actually, down in the comments below what your predictions for the driver lineups next year are going to be. But Jamie, then, I guess we're going to kick this off with Red Bull. Who are you saying is going to be in the OP car next year?
I have been extremely boring, and I've gone for Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez.
That's a shame.
Yes. Have you done exactly the same thing?
No.
Oof. Okay. Let's hear it.
I am going to stick to my word that I made earlier on this year. And despite the fact he's not performing, I still feel like there's a narrative behind it. I said Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo simply because, and you're going to love my logic and rationale for this, Racing Bulls put out an article today saying about how useful it's been having Ricciardo in the team so far.
Fantastic.
So I reckon they're still steering towards this, despite the fact Yuki has been better than him at the start of this year.
Fair enough. I just think, obviously, we're two races in. This time last year, Perez had also got a P2 and a P1, and the rest of the season completely fell apart for him. But if he keeps on doing what he's doing, I don't see why Red Bull would replace Sergio Perez. It's kind of like when Bottas was at Mercedes back in the day. Like, you know they're going to do all right, and they're not going to challenge the number one. So it's kind of perfect for a number two driver.
I think that's a little bit harsh on Bottas. I feel like Bottas, except for in wheel-to-wheel combat, because I reckon my gran could have done a better job racing other F1 drivers when it came to wheel racing, Bottas was actually pretty damn quick.
On pace, quality pace especially, yeah.
But in races as well, quite often, he'd still be able to, you know, for some reason I had a compilation come up of all of Bottas's wins.
Oh dear.
And he was actually quite impressive.
He did. The races he won, they were often very convincing, to be fair.
Yeah, they were pretty dominant fashion on a few occasions. You know, Australia 2019, what was it, about 25 seconds clear of Lewis in the end, wasn't it?
Which,
there was an element of Lewis was just not really too worried. But Bottas on his day could absolutely have a dominant victory. Perez, we've never really seen that, have we?
We've never seen him beat Max in a fair fight, you don't think?
Baku last year?
I guess, yeah. Their pace was pretty similar, though, wasn't it? Checo had a race position, track position because of Russell killing Max in the sprint. Yeah, I think at the best, Perez has been equal with Max on some occasions.
On a few occasions.
Yeah, whereas Bottas could actually beat Hamilton fair and square sometimes, which I just can't imagine a world where Perez does that, to be honest.
No, nor can I. Unless there was a complete ideology change down at Red Bull or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it still feels, doesn't it, that obviously those cars are designed for Max Verstappen. Which, again, kind of feeds into why I still feel it'd be Ricciardo again there next year. Because I think Red Bull have kind of finally come to the conclusion, haven't they, that the only driver that can replace Daniel Ricciardo at Red Bull is, in fact, Daniel Ricciardo. I would love to say Lando Norris. Yeah, I'd love to say Lando Norris. But he seems dead set on staying at McLaren because, simply put, he's scared. And we won't talk about that because we've spoken about it before on the show.
Indeed. Indeed. But, so out of interest, where have you landed Perez? Should we go there next? Or has he not landed anywhere?
He has not landed anywhere. I think Perez, come the end of this year, I think he's going to call it quits.
Fair enough.
He's going to say, I'm a couple of years at the top. Especially, I think, if this season ends up falling quite badly, like we're kind of both expecting it to at some point this year. I think Perez will call it quits by the end of the year. Or it might end up being one of those scenarios where, you know, Ricciardo's kind of a shoo-in at that team. And no one is really offering him the money he feels he deserves. Said Perez, the end of the year, is going to go off and kind of do whatever he feels like, because I'm sure he's still absolutely minted.
Yeah, and I guess if you've driven the best car for 3 years, then why would you downgrade, I guess?
So, speak to Bottas.
Yeah, exactly. I do wonder, like, Bottas and Raikkonen, obviously, Raikkonen was never in the best car, but you know what I mean. Dropping down the grid, who knows?
I'd argue Kimi Raikkonen certainly had the best car on a couple of occasions
in
Formula 1.
Not when he went to Sauber.
In 2018, 2017, that Ferrari was right there.
It was there,
yeah. I think that's a bit unfair.
I suppose you're right.
He literally won a Grand Prix, like, four races before his end of his Ferrari career.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Still the most recent legal Ferrari win. Oh no, not quite. 2022 it happened.
And Sainz last year.
Oh yeah, of course. There you go. He's still the last legal Ferrari champion. How about that?
Yeah, that's he's still the last Ferrari
champion
either way.
The last Ferrari
champion,
full stop, yeah.
At all, yeah. You've mentioned Ferrari then. Their driver lineup's confirmed for 2025, isn't it, already? So I don't think there's... I mean, unless you've got something bizarre. I've said Hamilton, Leclerc.
I have had Hamilton, Leclerc in that team. I don't think there's going to be a massive fallout between Charles Leclerc and Ferrari in the next 9 months, but you've seen stranger things have happened.
They have. As long as Charles Leclerc doesn't call it a truck, he should be alright, because that's how Alain Prost got dropped.
Yes.
That one pretty boring until obviously it happens, but boy oh boy are we excited for when it does happen. Because Ferrari, still it feels like there's little bits of news, isn't there, every other week that Ferrari are trying to poach someone or in the process of poaching someone. They could be cooking the next Ferrari dynasty, and I never thought I'd want to see it, but you know what? 2025, I'm fine with that happening. Mercedes then, I suppose. We've gone from obviously where Hamilton's going to where he's coming from.
Empty seat to fill.
You said. Yep.
George Russell was in one of them, I presume, for you two. This is the big talking point of the silly season, really, overall, isn't it? So I have gone with what I said at the start of the season when the Hamilton announcement happened, and I think it'll be Fernando Alonso, which I absolutely love the thought of Fernando Alonso driving for Mercedes, because he's only burnt bridges with half the grid. You might as well make it 6 out of 10. So, yeah, I think it'll be fantastic for all parties. I don't think Antonelli is going to have as good an F2 season as people thought, which I want to say I called from the start, by the way. I think they need a stopgap. Alonso's perfect. And by the time Antonelli's 20, Alonso will be like 45 or something. So wait for then and get him in.
I'm pretty certain Fernando Alonso is already pretty much 45, to be fair.
He's 42, isn't he, Alonso?
He's 42, sorry, still. So he's a little bit younger. Unfortunately, I've said exactly the same.
You've spun off Antonelli. What a snake.
Don't get me wrong. Antonelli is still making it to Formula 1. But I feel like Mercedes are going to give Alonso 1 year to finish out his career. And boy, oh boy, do I want to see George Russell get the better of him. Not no. saying it'll happen, because I can already see the hate I get from some of our Spanish audience, or Fernando Alonso loving audience. Some of you guys said a couple of weeks ago that I was a moron, because I thought he'd retire soon. And honestly, if Aston Martin, as I've said before, you know, kind of stay in that mire of kind of, you know, P5, pretty lonely, then I could still see it happening. But I think, yeah, unless Mercedes are really eyeing up someone else, which I think Prema might make Antonelli struggle, I think that's where I'm going to hang on to things at the moment.
Yeah, I would love to see Alonso in that Mercedes. I think it'd be fantastic for him and for the sport, because, yeah, just getting him as close to the front of the field as possible just makes races more entertaining. If he's within the top four on the grid, there's always a slight chance he might be leading into turn one. So it's just, yeah, quality.
I think as well, for Mercedes, it'll kind of be also to give Antonelli a year in the sport before he goes into Merck. But if Alonso goes to Merck, Antonelli will, I see, replacing him. And again, I also don't want to believe in the Albon to Mercedes narrative, because I just think it's a bad choice for Alex.
Yeah, I agree. And if you look at the candidates, it does seem to be a straight fight between Alonso or Antonelli. And no disrespect, I don't think Antonelli will be ready for it next year.
I reckon, yeah, I'm going to be still watching him very closely in Formula 2 for the rest of the year. Shall we at least, I mean, I might be wrong in saying this, but I was going to say, should we tick off a couple of the other easy ones, in which I've said McLaren and Alpine are going to be keeping their current lineups,
okay,
being really boring. You haven't said the same, have you?
I haven't said the same. I've said the same for McLaren.
Okay.
I think they're locked in, Norris and Piastri. I think there's a lot of mess at Alpine right now, and I think most people would agree with
that's
that.
One way of describing it.
Yeah, I think just looking at the way they've started the season and the way that it's like Titanic over there, the way people are abandoning ship. So, yeah, I have gone for a little switch up, and I've gone... It determines quite a few things later on in my grid anyway. I've got Esteban Ocon to stay because...
Of course you have.
Not because I want him to, because I would like to see him suffer, but I just think he's more like the golden child of Alpine, I think, and Gasly's kind of the middle child out of two. so right. I've gone Ocon to stay. Alongside him, I was basically... I think Gasly will just get sick of them and quit. Not mid-season, but I think that's kind of the deal, where it'll be Gasly's sick of dealing with the French and go somewhere else. And I was kind of thinking, this would be perfect if they had a junior driver that was going to make it in F1. But I had a quick look. Jack Doohan, obviously, is out of Formula 2 now, after finishing third last year. I don't think he's making his way in, personally. The other option would be Théo Pourchaire, simply because he's French. I don't think that's going to happen, because Sauber obviously absolutely love him as a young driver. So I've actually gone for Zhou Guan Yu to make the move across to Alpine.
Oh, deary me.
Former reserve and test driver, of course, back in the day. I think he left on fairly good terms to get a seat in F1. If they're struggling and there's a driver looking for a seat who's decent, you know, they're going to be a safe pair of hands, not pulling up any trees. But, you know, I think this makes sense to see a little Ocon X Joe.
That's disgusting.
What do you mean?
That is disgusting, Jamie.
It's like hopium.
Downright. It's complete hopium. It's complete and utter hopium. And I love the fact that you still think Alpine is in such a disarray, and yet you still want to believe that one of your favourite drivers is going to end up there just so he keeps an F1 seat.
Oh no, I basically... Oh, you know me for a while. I've been banging the Joe to Williams drum for a while. But I was like... Alpine is going so wrong, I just see Gasly quitting. And that's a spoiler, I might have put him at Williams.
Right, okay.
And therefore, okay, the Joe to Williams had to die a death. But means Joe to Alpine opens up. He used to race for them. He used to test for them. I think it makes sense.
Okay, I don't. I'm just going to go on the record in suggesting that for 1 second. I love your idea that... What I love most about your idea of Zhou in Formula 1 now is you don't see a world in which he keeps his current seat. He's definitely getting dropped.
No,
but
he's
going to end up somewhere.
I wanted to keep Zhou at Sauber in planning, But obviously, Teo Pourchaire will be in one of those seats in my mind in 2025. And if I didn't put Joe at Alpine, I wasn't going to put Bottas there, was I? And I don't know. It was hard. So this is kind of where my plan maybe falls apart a little bit. We'll see how wrong I am at the end of the year.
Okay, okay. I mean, that is just still, once again, hilarious.
You can laugh when it happens. Joe to Alpine, you heard it here first.
Okay, well, get that clipped. We'll get that clipped. We'll mark it up for the end of the year. Shall we head over then to Aston Martin? Of course, we both said Alonso was going to be leaving.
Mm-hmm.
As much as we both want Stroll to be gone, I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
So who is joining him?
In that empty seat. I have gone for the collateral damage from the Ferrari transfer of Carlos Sainz going to Aston Martin. I think he's wary that the Audi project might be a damp squib. Certainly for 25, it looks that way because of the way Sauber are doing right now. So I think I was trying to get in the mind of Lawrence Stroll, which is a dangerous place to be because he thinks Lance is the best driver on the grid.
He's also a billionaire, so yeah, clearly he knows something.
Yeah, he does know his way around a business, that's for sure. But I thought, you look at the last two recruits to the Aston Martin team that Lawrence Stroll has had an influence on since taking over. They signed Sebastian Vettel, four-time world champion. They signed Fernando Alonso, two-time world champion. Both of them have absolutely rinsed Stroll. Actually, Vettel didn't, but Alonso did. I think Lawrence Stroll wants to put good drivers against his son, because then if his son loses, which he will lose to the majority of the grid, it doesn't look as bad in my head. So that's why I think, you know, he's got the option of, you know, Yuki Tsunoda. He could put Felipe Drugovic in my mind. If Gasly's available, maybe he could go to Aston. But I think Lawrence Stroll will try and get the best driver available. Obviously, the world champions are all locked up. Sebastian Vettel, I thought about bringing him back, but I don't think it's going to happen. Would have made some great clickbait, but sadly not. So I think Carlos Sainz...
No, I'm getting that clickbait in there now. The thumbnail is going to be, he's going to return, and it's Sebastian Vettel in the thumbnail with your face
fantastic,
next to it.
Fantastic, fantastic. So I've gone Carlos Sainz, proven race winner. He would rinse Lance Stroll, but that's
proven
the point,
race winner is strong.
Well, he's won races. People say Gasly's a proven race winner.
Who are these people, apart from you in your internal voices?
So how many Sainz won? Two? Three?
Yes, two.
Just two. Well, that's all right, isn't it?
Well, one of them, Silverstone, he absolutely shouldn't have won.
He got pole position.
Yeah. And
he
then
didn't deserve it.
Got damaged and Leclerc got absolutely Ferrari'd.
Yeah, it's true. But still, then, he's a good driver, isn't he? You can agree with that.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm not trying to say he's not a good driver.
Who have you put next to Lance Stroll?
I've gone with the really sensible option and the one I think is going to happen. Because, of course, as we all know, Honda is moving over that way. They'll take Yuki Tsunoda with them. Because Honda, you very much get the impression, it's pretty clear at the moment, they go, you have our power units, you have our driver. They come together, or you get neither. And I don't think it would be a bad move for Aston Martin either.
I don't think it would be. I know it was definitely in my consideration. I just think, for Lawrence's sake, Tsunoda would still beat Stroll, but people don't rate Tsunoda.
I think you're starting to overestimate. Not that Lawrence Stroll doesn't have a big say in this Formula One team, but I think you're starting to overestimate his long-term personal vision
maybe
of this Formula One team. I think he's started to realise, actually, you know, maybe at last, yeah, I'm still going to give my son a Formula One team for a bit longer, but I think maybe he's starting to go, is it worth sacrificing everything just to give my kid a Formula One team? I don't know. Especially when he can't bring the car back to the pit lane.
Only happened once so far this season.
There's only been two races.
Yeah, I think the Tsunoda to Aston is logical, but as you've been finding out, my idea is not logical. So there we go.
No, nothing you've said so far this episode has been logical. I reckon we should rename this one to Knowing Crystal Ball, because it's just Jamie coming out with things he hopes is going to happen.
If I get 20 out of 20... everyone who watches this video owes me £5.
If you get 20 out of 20, I will eat a shoe.
Everyone heard that. Get it locked down.
I'm going to segue us over then, Jamie, to Alfa Romeo, which you just said is going to be a bit of a damp squib, when Audi literally confirmed a couple of weeks ago that they're not going to be buying 75% of Sauber, they're going to buy all of it.
Yeah.
Which makes a pretty clear intention that they're prepared to throw a lot of money behind this project.
Yeah.
And, let's not forget, Andreas Seidel, mate, come on.
He's good. He is very good. I do like him. I just think it's, like, they're starting with one hand tied behind their back with the way that Sauber have been doing. I just think the jump is going to take a bit of a while. So they're not going to be, like, right at the front for a very long time. And I don't know if Carlos, who I assume you've put there, has the patience.
I think you've got to remember the new regs are coming in 2026.
Do you think Audi technology will make a difference in 1 year?
We have, you've got to remember Audi technology is already at play, and it has been at play throughout the back end of last year, all of this year. You've got to remember at the moment, Audi, you know, a Formula One team that, what they're going to probably spend at most €1 billion on to kind of claim it and everything going on with it.
Yeah,
at most. That is, I mean, it, obviously it's a chunk of change to an Audi company, but at the until it's got Audi logos on it, I genuinely get the sense they aren't too worried. Because at the moment, it's, well, Stake or Kick or whatever we're calling them has a bad car. Yeah. Nothing to do with us. We're not that team yet. It'll be when 2026 rolls around. That'll be when it matters for them, when they've got those four rings on the front of that car. And I think Carlos Sainz, bearing in mind he's already had a working relationship with Andreas Seidel before, back at McLaren, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he would have done, yeah.
Bearing in mind his dad, also, from the rally side of things, had a very close relationship with Audi. It's still ongoing when they do Dakar. I think you underestimate the power that that brand will be able to bring in for Carlos Sainz. And you got to think as well, do I take a punt on an Aston Martin team or do I take a punt on an Audi team? Audi is a much, much bigger brand than Aston Martin.
It's true.
And I would argue as well, which is probably one of the unspoken rules of Formula One, Audi have a lot more pulling power over Formula One themselves. You know, if things aren't going well for Audi, I feel like they'll be able to get bigger breaks than an Aston Martin team would be able to. You know, it'll be, oh, our engine's really down at the moment, you know. Can we get a little bit more, you know, a little bit more testing time with this? Or can we do
it's
a little bit more with that?
It's those soft skills, isn't it, that you get by being with a team that F1 are trying to pander to.
Exactly. Exactly. I think that's what you're missing with this. So I've said Sainz and Porsche. I think Bottas is going to call it quits, and I think Zhou's going to get the drop.
I've gone Teo Porcher in one seat, and I've gone Valtteri Bottas to stay in the other one, which, yeah, I just think they don't want two rookies. I think, obviously, Zane Maloney drives for them in F2. I don't think Porcher Maloney would make much sense. They want an experienced driver next to Teo, and I think it's basically a shootout between Bottas and Joe. And in my head, I was like, well, if an Alpine seat comes up, Joe would probably jump ship to get out of the shooting fight. So yeah, we'll see what happens. I do think Sainz to Audi is one of those moves, you know, like when Hulk went to Renault back in the day when they were terrible, where like you think it's going to work and it doesn't actually work that well.
I mean, it might be a little bit of a desperate attempt by Sainz, but I think, you know, we've seen so many times in recent years, once you end up out of an F1 Grand Prix seat for a year, it is 10
so
times more difficult to get back in. And I think Sainz will kind of be, you know, I think that, again, I feel like Tsunoda is pretty pinned on to Aston Martin if they want those Honda power units. It's the best option Sainz has got to at least have a chance at being still at what could be a big team in the future.
Yeah.
And I think as well, you know, a Bottas might sort of think, I fancy doing a bit more cycling. I fancy spending my entire time in Australia. I'm just not going to worry anymore. And do I want to train up another rookie? Honestly, I'm happy to leave that to someone else. I'm not going to be there to see, you know, the Audi project kind of blossom. Why am I going to spend one more year kind of doing their busy work at the back of the field? I'll let Sainz have a go.
Fair. It's good logic. It is good logic. I was going to check the age gap between Sainz and Bottas, but
About yeah, 8 years, isn't
five,
it?
5 years.
No, a bit less than that, yeah.
34 to 29. But yeah, I see what you mean.
Is Bottas still only 34?
Yeah, he's quite young. He's not.
He's still quite young, isn't he? I think we kind of forget this.
He did debut. Honestly,
quite young.
He debuted 2 years before Sainz did.
Yeah, wild, isn't it?
Mm. We'll move
Bottas kind of came in at really odd point, didn't he, in Formula 1? Before the turbo hybrids, but not
just
that
before.
Long before.
Yeah.
He kind of was. Bottas has got to surely be the only driver that... Because he debuted in 2013, didn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
He's got to be the only driver that kind of... I'm trying to think of other drivers that debut kind of between 10 and 13 that kind of stayed on. You've got him,
Ricardo.
Perez, Hülkenberg, Ricardo.
Yeah, that's kind of it, really.
It's a really odd little period, isn't it? Where it felt like we weren't... because Formula 1's had so many dominant spells recently, it kind of feels like only the big names have stayed on for as long as they have.
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, I suppose. And then you had a bunch of... Like, obviously, Max and Sainz in 2015. And then, obviously, loads since then, really. But, yeah, there's not a lot of experience kicking around anymore, apart from, obviously... Alonso and Hamilton, really.
Yeah, yeah, who are still both, you'd argue, pretty much towards the top of their game. Mm. You mentioned Williams.
I assume,
therefore, you've gone Albon and Gasly?
Yes, it's like Max Verstappen therapy club at Williams. I just think Logan Sargeant's pretty poor, and the Williams project is okay. Gasly's going to get sick of Alpine and just call it quits, and this will be the best he gets.
Fair enough. You think you want to spend, you know, you want to go to another team that's probably kicking around in a similar position to Alpine, do you?
Yeah, but Williams have a bit of trajectory, don't they? Like, James Vowles is a very safe pair of hands, very clever, and Alpine seem like they're just floundering. So, yeah, I do.
Yeah,
I don't think Antonelli is, I don't think he's going to do well enough in F2 to get to not.
I really don't think Mercedes are going to try and push him, do you?
Well, I think they'll give him another year in F2, and then it will go to Williams or Mercedes after that. Because one year in F2 when you're 18 is crazy. No, like, that's unheard of.
Piastri?
He was 21. He had a lot more experience in single-seaters.
Was he 21 or was he 20 in Formula 2? When was it? 2021? He was 20.
He was 20. Well, that's not far off, is it?
I don't know. I feel like, again, I've said Albon and Antonelli. It's kind of obviously going away from my he's going to go straight into Mercedes narrative at the start of the year. But I think, you know, whether there's a deal put in place where Mercedes go, look, we're already developing the next generation of engines. You might get the dimensions a bit earlier than our other customer teams. You might just happen to get a little bit of a discount. You know, perhaps you've got a coupon code. Use Antonelli 20 for 20% off at checkout, something like that.
Hashtag ad.
Exactly. I think, yeah, I'm going to say Albon, and I reckon Antonelli's going to get a year there and just wait to see Alonso, cause carnage.
He's not even 18 yet. He's 17. He's 18 in August. That's mad.
But he obviously, but Prima had a disaster in Bahrain. I think it's difficult to look past that. Behrman showcased that Prima were pretty much back to where they should be in Jeddah.
Mm-hmm.
Antonelli's still got a lot of time this year to build up momentum and, don't forget, outscored Behrman in Bahrain, I believe.
By one point. He came 10th.
Yeah. Yeah, he still outscored him. You'd say that for Hülkenberg.
I would.
And of course, you know, obviously Behrman was going to outscore him in Jeddah. But Antonelli was clearly getting more and more confident. Don't get me wrong, I don't think he'll beat Behrman this year. But I think he'll still do enough that Mercedes are going, yeah, I think it's worth pushing him up. Get him there.
And he's
get
in a good
confident.
Position that, like, outside of Maloney, there's no front runner. So it's very, very open. And even Maloney, you feel like those two wins in Bahrain were...
Well, he was not particularly... He was nowhere near as good in Jeddah. But
he also had
the
failure in
qualifying.
Because I mentioned his name on the podcast. Exactly. He had to have a failure.
You dare mention him, yeah, and it all went pear-shaped.
Yes.
Haas, we've only got two more to go, haven't we, I think?
Yes, Haas, I expect we've done the same, because I think it's the most obvious seat that's going to change all year. I've gone Nico Hülkenberg and Oliver Behrman.
We haven't gone the same.
You've not put Mag in, have you?
No, I'm joking. Hypothetical.
Okay. I was going to say, if that's such bait, if you think Magnussen is staying and Hulkenberg isn't.
I mean, to be fair, Magnussen, he got Hulkenberg that point last weekend.
Who got the point? Magnussen, all he got was 20-second penalty, the cheat. He was only able to get the point because he was such a bad driver in the first place.
Well, yeah, he did put Albon in a wall, didn't he? No, but I'm with you, though. I think Magnussen's F1 time is properly up this time around.
Yeah.
You know, it was kind of... He probably was done when he got dropped the first time by Haas. And then kind of got a bit lucky to get back in. But Hulkenberg, you know, I will happily admit, has showcased Magnussen's shortcomings, especially in qualifying.
Yes.
Still. They were a lot closer on race pace.
Well, Hulk's always been a great qualifier.
So yeah.
There was a time when he was in the top five on the grid at quali pace. Sadly, not anymore.
Okay. I think, though, like we said, obviously, Behrmann surely is going to get an F1 gig next year. It's kind of irrelevant what he does in Formula 2 now. He's showcased to Ferrari what he's capable of. And I think they'll be looking to really push him because I think already people are talking about him being Hamilton's replacement at Ferrari in a few years.
Nothing like the British media to hype someone up, is there?
Exactly. But then Hulkenberg will kind of kick around for a year or two more. Before inevitably Ferrari or someone else have got their next big interest, isn't it?
Eventually Hulk will get a podium, then he'll call it quits. That's what he's waiting around for.
I'll behave.
This time last year should have happened.
It should have, to be fair. I will happily admit that.
Still for you.
Happily because it didn't happen, but yeah, just because I know it upsets Jamie. V-Cub then, our final team.
Yes.
What are we saying?
Oh, yeah, you've moved Tsunoda, haven't you? And you've moved Ricciardo. Wow.
Yeah, they've got a new lineup.
I think Liam Lawson will absolutely 100% nail it now, will be in that team next year.
So do I.
I think my other one is Yuki Tsunoda, just because I've not moved him anywhere. So, there you go.
Fair enough. I think that's fairly sensible. I've gone and put Owasa in. Fair. Simply.
What's Owasa
simply
doing?
Simply because. Formula 2 still, I believe, isn't he? Am I wrong? Or has he gone to Super Formula?
I haven't noticed him in the first... Yeah, he's at Super Formula this year. I was going to say, I thought he wasn't in F2 anymore.
Yeah. So I thought he'd gone SF.
Yeah.
Simply put, I just think it'll be because, like we said, you know, Lawson, we feel, is pretty much nailed on because apparently he's already been promised a contract, but this is Red Bull. Christian Horner, whether you like it or not, might promise to send you pictures of his pee-pee. We still don't know.
Fantastic.
But I kind of thought, you know, Owasa's probably their most experienced junior. I think they'll give him a year. Lawson will kick him, and then Owasa will be dropped. Pretty simple. May end up down at Aston Martin when Stroll gets...
They're not going to have a Japanese super team, are they? Surely not.
I reckon so. They're going to rebrand it to Honda as well. Rebrand
Sato
it to Super Aguri.
Sato and Yuji Ide. Bring it back.
Yeah. Love it. Simply put, I think Red Bull are kind of in that weird little spot at the moment where, you know, maybe a Zane Maloney could get the call up as well. But I think they'll give it to Owasa for a year.
Maloney was with Red Bull until he was dropped, and now he's at Sauber. But yeah. It could happen.
Yeah. I think they will. Well, wait. It's a bit of a difficult one to call, isn't it? Because you never quite know what's going on down at IndyCar. Yeah. Maybe they'll give it to an IndyCar driver or something like that. They're always one to try something different.
Joseph Newgarden or something.
Exactly. Won the first IndyCar race last weekend.
There you go.
In dominant fashion.
No, I didn't know that.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Shall we run through our full lists for our listeners?
Go on. Fire it off for me, Jamie, before we do our predictions.
Red Bull, Verstappen and Perez. Ferrari, Leclerc and Hamilton. Mercedes, Russell and Alonso. McLaren, Norris, Piastri. Aston Martin, Sainz and Stroll. Alpine, Ocon and Zhou Guan Yu. Sauber, Porcher and Bottas. Haas, Nico Hülkenberg and Oliver Behrmann. Racing Bulls, Lawson and Tsunoda. And Williams, Albon and Gasly.
Interesting, very interesting. So we got a few teams there that are the same, haven't we?
Yes. You run through yours.
Three or four. So Red Bull is going to be Max Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo. Ferrari, of course, Hamilton, Leclerc. Mercedes is Russell and Alonso. McLaren, they're sticking with Lando and Oscar. Aston Martin is Stroll and Tsunoda. Alfa Romeo is Sainz and Porcher. Williams is going to be the A's of Albon and Antonelli. Haas is going to be Ollie Bearman with his number two, Nico Hülkenberg. V-Carb is Liam Lawson and Ayumu Owasa. And Alpine are going to stick with the French dream team of Gasly and Esteban Ocon. Before we finish the show, though, Jamie, let's get our predictions in for the Australian Grand Prix.
Yes, you
can
get
to go. What are the scores? Yeah, what are the scores currently?
Are 11-5 to me already.
Oh, that's a disaster. Max. I keep hyping him up, man. I don't know why. Leclerc, P2, and... yeah, we'll say Perez P3, just so I can try and bank a safe point if he ends up P2.
I'll go Leclerc pole. It's about time.
Hey, we love to see it.
I'll go Max to win. Is it 10 in a row? Would this be equaling his record?
This would be record equaling.
Yeah, I'll go Max win. I'll go Perez P2 and Leclerc P3. So it's boring, but I can't. Have no
so
choice.
Boring.
Well,
so boring.
Leclerc pole, there's some points for you.
Okay. Well, maybe not this weekend. Leclerc does do it.
Where will Lance Stroll finish?
Oh, yes. Where will Lance... will Lance Stroll finish is always the real question, isn't it? I'm going to say Lance Stroll will bag a cheeky P10.
I feel like he's always quite good at Melbourne. I might go for a little P8.
Hang on a minute. We watched him last year.
Yeah, but
he drove himself off the road.
He finished fourth.
Yeah, but he drove himself off the road.
He did. I'll go for a little eighth place. How about that?
Okay. Who's he beating?
I think Aston were good at Jeddah. If Jeddah's very similar to Melbourne these days with all the track changes. So, yeah.
Get the better of Lewis and George.
Yeah, maybe. And maybe one of the... maybe like a McLaren has an issue or something. Piastri's going to have the Melbourne curse because he's Australian. So.
Yeah, that's a good point. So, and, although, to be fair, he did score his career first points here last year.
Which... outside top five team driver is going to do the best, because I've got this bang on so far, so we're going to keep doing
you
it.
You have. I'm going to say Alex Albon.
Nice. I'm going to say... ooh, I might say... is that dumb?
Go on, say Logan Sargeant.
I'm going to say Kevin Magnussen.
Like it. I like it.
I feel bad not backing Hulk, but K-Mag.
Well, you always back Hulk, and you always go on about how good he is here, so...
I do. He's finished P7 5 out of the last 6 races he's entered. How's that for a stat?
There you go.
He won't finish P7 this year, but...
that's sad,
we'll get that in
probably
early.
Right. Wonderful. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure to leave a like, get yourself subscribed. Like we said, leave us your predictions for what the 2025 driver lineups are going to look like as well. And yeah, Jamie and I will return next week then with an Australian Grand Prix review.